From high atop the last word on sports.com, CFL headquarters, this is Chunky and the Man. And now the man who knows everything about the Canadian Football League, just ask him, your host, Brendan McGuire.
Episode 25, I'm Brendan McGuire, he is Marcus Chunky Adams.
Yeah.
And tonight I'm going to tell you why Johnny Manziel shouldn't see the field this season, why Jerome Messam isn't such a great fit in Saskatchewan, and whether or not, Marcus, give me this cross-eyed look, and whether or not the Riders were fair in the treatment of released quarterback Marquise Williams. But before we start with that, get close to this mic. Come on, we're friends. Yeah. We can be close, okay?
My temptations.
Before we get started, oh, by the way, we're going to talk to Tanner Marsh in a little bit. But before we get to that, I want to hear this story. You failed grade one.
Yeah. Yeah, I failed grade one. I had a bad attitude. And my mom recognized that.
Kind of caught you with the left hook on that one. Yeah, you didn't think I was going to bring that up on air in front of our hundreds of listeners.
Yes, people, I'm still a good person. Just in 1987, I was not a good person.
I couldn't play right, so I also did 2 years of grade one.
Yes.
So it's nothing to be embarrassed about. But we begin with tonight's episode with the Riders' first ever game on TSN in the month of May. Now, I say the Riders, I don't quite go so far as to say the Riders' first ever game in the month of May, because I think it may have happened before. I'm not 100% sure.
2003, 2004, my rookie year. My
preseason season. Games.
May 31st.
There you go. You heard it.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers, 51-17. We won.
But this game was earlier than that. This was on May 27th.
It was still May.
It's still May. Okay. So I watched the Rider game in Edmonton after seeing the Blue Jays play. I flipped back and forth to the Memorial Cup Championship game.
Okay.
And then LeBron's Game 7 heroics in Boston. And now the Stanley Cup Finals have started. Football in May, competing with a crowded field. Is this too early to have football back again?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think a lot of Canadians like to watch CFL football. And, I mean, hockey thing is already just one game. I mean, just one series left. So, they can flip back and forth.
You want to see it. I mean, it's not about what you or I want so much. Because, I mean, hell, I say bring them on in April. I'll still watch them.
Wow.
But do you think it's too much to compete with all this other stuff going on?
Yeah. I do think some of the players like to watch the NBA playoffs instead of watching film.
So we're not worried about the fans. We're worried about the players. Yeah, the players hate this spring stuff.
When I played early in my career, we stayed at Luther College in the dorms. We were rushed out of meetings to go watch the NBA finals.
They let you do that?
Yeah, well, we just... We would tell the rookies, shut up, no questions, so we can go watch the game.
That makes sense, because Richie Hall said on, not last week's episode, but 2 weeks ago, that he likes LeBron, but he was watching the Raptor game during the CFL draft.
Well, yeah, Richie don't care about personnel anyway.
I think Richie's kind of like me in the fact, Richie is about as interested in the CFL Canadian College draft as I am.
Well, Richie thing is he don't care. His job is to coach whoever they bring in. That's his mentality.
And that's a GM's dream.
Yeah.
Right? Because so often coaches and GMs fight with each other.
Well, Etcheverry should have a job. He feels the same way.
What, he fought too much with his GM? Or you're saying...
Etcheverry don't care who you bring
in. Oh, he doesn't... He has no interest in the personnel side of it.
He said his job is to coach.
Well, our next guest very briefly backed up Anthony Calvillo in his dying days with the Alouettes. He did 3 seasons as a CFL quarterback and now runs a quarterback school in the deep south of Arkansas. He is retired CFL QB Tanner Marsh, and he joins us now. Tanner!
Hey, yep. Hello, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good.
We didn't catch you out on the town, did we?
Well, you know, I stepped aside from the town for a few minutes to take this phone call.
Just for us. Marcus and I are honored that you would step away from Chicago. Have you been to Wrigley? Have you been to Grant Park? What have you seen so far?
Oh, man, we've probably been here for a few days now. We've been kind of everywhere. I've not been to Wrigley Field yet. We've been trying to catch a game on the right time because we have, Dan LeFever, who is a good friend and played with me in Montreal. He lives here also, so we've been hanging out with him a little bit. We were just cruising the town, man. We just got back from the lake today. Went to the lake. Just been enjoying all types of different places.
I love Chicago. You'd be a pretty crazy cat if you can't have fun in Chicago. So I know you and I were going back and forth a little bit over the weekend about Josh Freeman. By the way, Tanner's going to be with us on LastWordOnSports.com. Everybody's very excited about the addition of Tanner Marsh. You knew that he was struggling in camp to begin with. Do the Alouette coaches, the Alouette coaches, do they deserve credit for quickly identifying that this guy is not all in and for moving on rather than waiting until the season starts?
I mean, it's one of those things where you get a guy like Josh Freeman who played in the NFL, who has, you know, had some success there. You know, it's a typical CFL story, you know. It's, you know, I feel like the Montreal Alouettes do a little more than every other team. But there's always that big-time guy that comes in, you know, he played in the NFL, and they want to bring him in, and it's either he's going to do really well or he comes in just completely out of shape, he's past his prime, and he's not who he used to be. And so I feel like it's either one or the other. And Josh Freeman was the guy that came in out of shape, didn't throw over the offseason. I just heard from people that were there at the camp that he just looked misplaced, that he wasn't really even in the quarterback competition because he was just so far behind. You know, he wasn't spinning the ball very well. And he just wasn't looking the part. So it just, that's what I heard from camp. And that's that he just looked out of shape.
I was at CFL weekend. Sorry, go ahead. Carry on.
And it's just one of those things when, you know, as a coach, you got to make that decision like, okay, well, do we want to keep him around and let him keep, you know, taking reps from these younger guys we have, or just cut ties? And luckily it sounds like, I don't know Josh Freeman, but luckily it sounds like he was a reasonable enough guy to just kind of realize the situation instead of making it a deal, just kind of agreeing to retire rather than say he got cut, you know? So it sounded like the situation actually ended up a lot better than I've heard of other situations in the past.
You know, I was at CFL week back in March in Winnipeg. Marcus and I were both there. Mm-hmm. And afterward, I was chatting with Drew Edwards of Three Down Nation, and we were having a few drinks, and he told us, I was arguing with him incessantly, that Josh Freeman could be the answer with the Alouettes, and everybody's giving Kavis too much of a rough go here. And he said, I don't want you to report this, but I just walked past Josh out on the street tonight having a cigarette. And they laughed about it. Now, I downed about a half dozen pints at Shannon's Irish Pub that night. So the next morning, I had a splitting headache. And I thought, did I just make that up in my head? Or did he really tell me that? So that story has now emerged on 3downnation.com. Now, I don't want to judge anybody for puffing on the odd dart. I like to have a few drinks and puff on the odd dart myself, but I'm also not training to be a CFL quarterback. Should we have written him off right there and then?
Yep.
I mean, I'm going to have to say yes. Like, that's nuts.
Right.
And you know what, though? Like, honestly, as much as I love the Montreal Alouettes, and I do love Kavis Reed, like, if that's not Montreal Alouettes organization to a T, I don't know what it is. Like, bringing in a big-time quarterback, and he's caught smoking a cigarette outside on CFL week, you know, like, that's Montreal Alouettes for you.
like if you're going to get caught having a dart, do it when you're at home in Chicago or somewhere else, not right at CFL week.
Hide it. At least, like, geez.
Okay, well, I look at their, but we'll put this to bed here right away, the Alouette thing, because we've got more important things to talk about, like Johnny Manziel. I look at who the Alouettes have at quarterback right now, and I'll list off some of these names here. Let's see, Drew Willey, Matt Schiltz, and Antonio Pipkin appear to be the Alouettes' options at quarterback. Is it safe to write them off already?
You know what? I don't know. You can't write them off yet. Because, I mean, they still have weapons. They still have some guys on defense. And you know what? Drew Willey has had some – he's played some good football. He's played good when he was with Winnipeg, and he's had a down few years, but he has some good football in him. So I'm kind of hoping that, you know, he comes out, kind of surprises everyone, and plays well. So
it seems to me like the Alouettes would have been and still could be a perfect fit for Johnny Manziel. Should these two teams, the Ticats and Alouettes, not be hooking up on a trade here?
I mean, you also got to understand that, you know, the Alouettes also did make a big mistake with the former Heisman winning quarterback with Troy Smith. So it is kind of like, I feel like they're trying to, you know, be a little careful right there, because Johnny Manziel can easily tear up the CFL. He could do a great job in the league. He's got a big arm. He's a fellow Texan quarterback. Big arm, athletic, can do a lot of good things. But, you know, as these big-time guys, similar to Josh Freeman, these big-time guys, especially quarterbacks, they come into the CFL, they think, oh, man, this is going to be so easy. This is going to be a breeze. They get here and they don't have that much success because they don't, you know, they don't take the time to become a successful CFL quarterback. So that's kind of what I'm scared of with Johnny Manziel. I've met him a few times. He's a extremely interesting character. So, I mean, I'm excited to see him and I want him to do well. I really do. But like, it just kind of, it honestly matters, like I said, is how much does he want to be a successful CFL quarterback? And that sounds kind of crazy, but that's what you got to do. That's what you got to be a good quarterback in this league, which is completely different than being a good NFL quarterback or NCAA college quarterback. So we'll see. I hope he does well.
We're hearing indications from June Jones and Hamilton that Johnny might not see much action, if any, this year. And I'm a little bit older than you are. So I like to say when I was a boy, you didn't see these quarterbacks starting in year one. You would sit on the bench for like year one, probably year two, and then by year three, we would see what you're made of. Now, we've gotten way away from that. The game is a lot different now. But do you think that at the very least, Johnny should sit out year number one, provided that the Ticats have other options like Jeremiah Mazzoli, for the sole purpose of not throwing him to the Wolves before he's ready? He's going to need a full year before he's ready. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong one bit, but when you get a guy like that, that has that much exposure, and a guy like Johnny Manziel, I'm going to go ahead and say that he wouldn't be up in Hamilton a full year and not expect to play.
Yeah, and sometimes that's what happens when you either draft a guy really high or you have a high-profile signing like Johnny exactly. Manziel. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Your rookie year, you saw the field because that was the end of Anthony Calvillo, correct?
Well, Anthony got hurt, and they brought in, at the beginning of training camp, they had Josh Neiswander in Montreal, and they had Quentin Porter.
Oh,
got played in the league.
I remember him, yeah.
Yep, was in Hamilton for a while, and then it was me. And Quentin Porter and Josh Neiswander was actually kind of competing for the backup spot, and I was just kind of that rookie that was just a nobody that kind of just happened to, you know, spark some interest, and then Quentin Porter ended up getting released after training camp, and so injuries kind of happened. That's how I played.
So, was that you who came off the bench and finished the game that they won in Saskatchewan when AC got hurt? You got to jog my memory. I'm trying to remember.
No, so that game, he got hurt. Josh Neiswander came in and played, but we still lost. We didn't win that game. We lost that game. And then the next game, we played at home. We played at Montreal versus BC, and that's when I came in, and I had like the big time comeback. That really wasn't that big of a comeback. It really was just a mess of a game. I threw four interceptions and just happened to throw a Hail Mary that was completed, and everyone was like, he's amazing.
Would your CFL career have lasted longer if you'd been given more time to watch before getting out with the bullets flying?
100%. Yeah. I would have loved to sit back and learn. But, you know, my situation was a little different because, you know, I had AT, who was the best quarterback to ever play in the CFL. So I learned a lot from him. And then just after he kind of got injured, it was just the nonstop of coaches after coaches after coaches. So I learned AC's offense, and I absolutely loved it. And that's when I was really kind of learning the game my rookie season. And then I just, you know, I kept learning these new offenses, but kind of trying to add AC's twist to it, and it just didn't work out as well as I hoped.
Okay, Josh, this is Marcus, man. Just wondering, if you are Jeremiah Bazzoli, are you looking at comparable situations like researching Aaron Rodgers' behave when Brett Favre came to try and take his job? How'd you feel about that?
Man, you know what? It is. I couldn't imagine being Bazzoli right now. That has to be so tough. Just because, like, any moment you don't have a good game or you don't have a good practice, there's always going to be somebody chirping in your ear. You'll see it on the media or something about, you know, Manziel this, Manziel that, which is just a horrible way to play quarterback.
Right.
And I hope somebody is kind of tagging along with him and just, like, boosting him, if that makes sense, just telling him that he's still doing good. Like the other day, we all saw that Manziel had a good practice on Twitter, on any type of social media. You know, all types of stuff. No one even talked to Masoli, and someone mentioned that he also had a great practice. But no one knew that because everyone wanted to talk about Manziel finally throwing that far side comeback, and, you know, nobody wants to mention that Masoli probably did the exact same thing that day in practice, but the fact that, you know, Manziel's here is taking all the attention away from him.
Do you think, like, June Jones will have to really communicate with Mazzoli about how well he's doing and not listening to the media or the fans?
Yeah, you know, I think he has to.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Mazzoli is one of those quarterbacks that, you know, rides the wave. When he's hot and he's playing well,
yes,
he is a dang good quarterback.
Right, right.
He's kind of on the down, you know, he makes a few bad throws, you know, he can't really get his running game going very well. He struggles a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's for sure one of those guys that you kind of just need to, you know, feed the fire a little bit. Say, hey, man, just stick with it. That's a great run, great throw. You kind of have to feed him. And I'm assuming June Jones is doing that. I think June Jones has done a fantastic job with the media when it comes to him.
He surprised me. I thought he would be a complete and total failure up here, Tanner, just because I thought he'd be overhyped. And we've seen so many American coaches with NFL, NCAA credentials come up here thinking this would be a cakewalk, and it wasn't. I thought the run and shoot would be a complete disaster. And he's proven me exactly wrong. He's been 100% the opposite. Are you surprised that he's shown such a commitment to the run game?
I am. He's, I think he's done a good job because the CFL game is, it is hard to adapt sometimes. I've had some NFL OCs of Montreal that just literally struggled with it. And the thing is a lot of people struggle with automatically saying, okay, we got three downs, we got to abort the run, get more quick game. And that's not completely true. And you're really going three downs for 9 yards instead of 10 because you on that third down, you go for 1 yard. So a lot of American OCs, down south guys, they kind of struggle with that concept sometimes. So I thought he's done a good job sticking with the running game because, man, if you got a good running game in the CFL, you're a difference. That's a difference maker.
Tanner, I know that everybody's really excited to have you alongside with us at LastWordOnSports.com. Thanks for coming up on our podcast here tonight. We look forward to reading a lot of your stuff there, too.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, man. I'll be more than happy to come in and talk anytime about football. I love talking about it, especially about quarterbacks. So I'm excited to be on the team, man. Thanks for having me.
And make sure you see the Cubs before you leave town, all right?
I'm going to have to. My birthday is actually tomorrow. So
happy birthday to you, buddy.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. So we're trying to figure out something cool to do in Chicago and maybe sneak in and get a game. And I think they play tomorrow night. I think so, maybe.
You got to check it out, man. Thanks a lot. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. You too.
That is Tanner Marsh, newest addition to Last Word on Sports.com. And here, I'm going to get this other mic up. Okay, so I'm going to hold the mic. Check me out.
There you go.
Like Ron Burgundy. I thought he made a good point, though.
About which part?
About June Jones.
Yeah.
Like in the CFL, there's this old hillbilly mentality. It's with a lot of these coaches from the Deep South who think that in the NFL, you've got the four downs, right? So you've got three downs to generate offense. So they think, okay, you know what? Ground and pound will get our three and a half yards a carry. In the CFL, that won't work. You need 5 yards a carry, and that's just not doable, and they abandon the run game. John Jenkins used to do that.
Who did he coach for?
Well, he was the old run-and-shoot coach. He was with the University of Houston.
And
they had all that success, remember, with Andre Ware?
Paul Klingler?
I know Klingler. The quarterback. You know who I'm talking about. And so he had this philosophy that you had to pass on every down. They had no running game. Like, he was the offensive coordinator in Birmingham with the Birmingham Barracudas, 1995.
Okay.
And then he was the offensive coordinator with the Argos when they had Flutie. Flutie was his own running back. Didn't need a running back.
Right.
And then in 2004, he was the OC with the Calgary Stampeders, and they were god-awful. Because they didn't have a running game.
Wow.
That was the year Dunnigan was a head coach. Remember that?
Yes, they were terrible. He was a terrible head coach.
He was a terrible head coach. Good guy and all, but...
Yeah, I don't know him like that. I didn't know he was a terrible head coach.
Yeah. Good guy or not.
A good quarterback.
Great quarterback.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any of the licks that he used to take?
Yeah, I did see some of the old games, too, where, like, when he was in Winnipeg, he got hit a lot. Holy smokes.
Well, he was the type of guy, like, if you ever watch the classic games, Grey Cup 88, he was quarterback in the BC Lions, and he's, like, about to be out of bounds, and he, like, turns his head upfield, and he busts his way, and he took on the linebackers, like, head first, and he thought, yeah, that's spirit, and... Well, now looking back, we know he had like 12 to 15 concussions, so probably didn't work out very well.
Yeah, he probably don't remember any of that stuff.
This is Chunky and the Man CFL Podcast, episode number 5. You can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts, on iTunes, and of course, on lastwordonsports.com. Over the weekend, we saw Daron Carter play offense and defense. Made me think of those old Jerry Jones commercials with Deion Sanders. What's it going to be, Deion? Offense or defense? He says, both. Is those old Pizza Hut commercials when he played with the Cowboys.
Yep.
And then he says, what's it going to be, pepperoni or hamburger pizza? He goes, both. He goes, what's it going to be, Deion? 15, 20 million? He goes, both. Anyways, is it a stretch to label Daron Carter Canada's Deion Sanders?
Yes.
You didn't even let me finish.
Because he's playing field corner. Anybody can play field corner in the CFL, in my opinion.
You could.
I can play 10 yards off a receiver and play deep third.
But I think Chris Jones is smart to put him in that situation if he's going to put him on defense.
Of course. Well, he's not a DB.
Maybe, you don't think so?
I mean, he's a good athlete.
You think we're getting a little... This is more for show.
I think it's more just to... Daron probably haven't shut his mouth since camp started and...
Keep Daron happy.
Just keep him happy because he's a diva.
I don't know. You know what? I think back to how cool it was when we had Deion Sanders. I feel like one of the luckiest football fans alive to grow up when Deion Sanders was playing. I miss Bo Jackson because he was a little before me when he could go both ways on the baseball and football. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
He can go both ways on football and football, too, I thought.
Oh, if he wanted to play on defense?
He could have been a linebacker and nail some people.
It's pretty good.
Oh, jeez.
I wrote a column for Last Word on Sports last week with some thoughts about Jerome Messam.
I saw that.
Okay, and?
I agree with you.
He just doesn't fit.
No, I mean,
Like Chris...
He can't catch.
So he is a running back.
Yeah.
He's either going to be your starting tailback or your backup tailback.
Or bring him in on second down and one. Or third down and one.
Could he be a fullback?
I don't think his mentality is to block.
So if he has to be a tailback, he's either got to be your starter, but if you don't have anyone to back him up, and I don't think they have anyone to back him up.
No, I mean, he's not what he was when he first went to Calgary or when he was in Edmonton.
He's 33 years old.
Yeah.
He's almost as old as I am, crying out loud.
I mean, perfect. We saw him last year. Last year, he was getting tackled by one DB, and, you know, he wasn't what he was. I mean, Sucks to say it.
You saw signs last year that he had regressed, and so did Huff.
Father time has caught him.
And
he got to face the facts.
And Huff noticed that, because remember when he hit free agency, Huff wasn't in a big huff to get him signed.
That's just like Bill Belichick. He always cut players right before they start declining.
Right at that line.
Yes.
You're better to get rid of them 2 minutes too early. Or no, sorry, what is it? 20 minutes too early than 2 minutes too late.
There you go. So, and I think Huff knew he wanted a big contract.
So we've seen the first team reps. We saw Zach Stacy seem to produce in Edmonton. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility that Jerome will not be the starter. They'll go with an American at that spot. They have good Canadian depth in so many other positions. They're going to start two Canadians on the defensive line. They might even start one in the linebacking core. They're probably going to start four more on the offensive line.
Is Sam Hurrell Canadian?
He's Canadian.
Oh, okay.
So you have a plethora of options all over. So if they end up not starting Jerome, okay, do you then look at it and say, he's making a six-figure salary?
Pay cut.
Yeah.
I think they offer him a pay cut.
Okay.
Because he's a veteran.
You pull him aside, you tell him, look, we're either going to cut you or you're going to take a pay cut. And you might even say to him, look, if you take your pay cut, we'll guarantee it for the full year right now.
Yep.
Because the NFL does that all the time.
All you want to do, hey, can you please mentor these young running backs?
And if a week comes along where they have injuries, see, this is what I think is going to happen.
Perfect. There you go.
I agree with what you said. I didn't even think of the pay cut idea, but that is brilliant because they gave him a signing bonus up front. So he's already got his bonus.
Yep.
And they can say, look, we gave you that bonus. Didn't work out to be our starter. We can't afford you. We're going to make you as a backup. We'll put incentive bonuses in for games that you start.
Yep.
And then if we have issues in other positions, i.e. Sam Hurl's injured or just sucks, and we need to start an American there or any other position where they're starting a Canadian. If they run into ratio problems, they could say, this week we will put you as a starting running back. Yeah. And then if he gets injured, you could back him up with like a backup receiver and just go with an extra receiver.
Yep, I think so. He's been around the league a long time. He's BC, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Saskatchewan. He's been around for a long time now, so he knows the game. So I think Jones will use that of his knowledge. Even him being in Calgary all these years, you know that's the writer's nemesis, so I think Jones might keep him around just to get a little insight on Calgary.
I think that's what you texted me the day it happened, when I couldn't figure out why they picked him up.
That's very true. I think so. I mean, think about it. Calgary's been in a great trip how many years now out of the last 5 years?
Three out of the last four.
So, and they beat Jones and Edmonton every year in the finals, in the Western Final, pretty much, to go to the Great Cup.
Except in 20. So, yeah, oh, yeah. The one year Jones got him. I see what you mean.
And they almost lost that game.
Right. So he sees Calgary as his biggest nemesis.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
Concerned about it.
Because he knows Huff knows him, and he knows Huff.
And he knows Dickinson, hates Dickinson, and Dickinson hates him too.
It's no secret. I love it.
Yeah, it's good for the league.
I hate when coaches always talk to him. That's my buddy. No, it ain't.
There's just something about Saskatchewan, Calgary. It's always been that way.
Well, I think because of Henry Burris started it off.
That's who started it off.
In 05.
Because our Riders were a joke before that. Yeah. And then when Henry came over here, then the Riders became somewhat relevant. And then when Henry went back to Calgary, that pissed people off in Saskatchewan big time. Mm-hmm. So you don't think I'm crazy for suggesting that Jerome Messam just gets cut altogether and maybe gets given his walking papers to go elsewhere?
No, I don't think you're crazy at all for that, no. But I do
think... Well, thank you. I'm touched that you don't think I'm crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
But there's a good chance he still sticks around.
Yeah, he might. I guess it depends how big his signing bonus was. How big was it? Do you know?
I think he got like 20 grand.
Yeah, he can get cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got my signing bonus and got cut.
After you got your signing bonus.
Yeah. Thanks, Brendan Taman.
But you didn't get your signing bonus and then leave.
No. Well, I went to Arizona.
Darian Durant.
Hey, no, a thing about, I saw that on Facebook. Stop it. That was, look, teams do it all the time to players. So what Durant did, I don't blame him. Now, me being a GM, one day I want to be GM one day. Yeah, it sucks. But at the same time, when the shoe's on the other foot, it sucks also.
Yeah, there are players who get told after they have an injury, like what's his name, Marshall. He got injured, I'm sure, playing with the Riders, and now all of a sudden they're telling him, sorry, you can't be here because you're injured.
Mm-hmm.
Goes both ways. I get it. It
goes both ways. And Winnipeg drew the short straw.
And that was pretty dumb to give him a signing bonus that far before camp.
And plus, when you knew, like, the word is, he told them that he's thinking about retiring.
Yeah. But I'm just making the point, like, to give him his signing bonus right when he signed the contract. There has to be a provision in there where you can guarantee his signing bonus, but you don't deliver it until July.
Right.
So then that way he's going to show up and do his work. You make it. Anyways, we've given Jerome Messam and Darian Durant far too much of our attention already. Are you surprised that Marquise Williams has fallen the way he has?
You know what? I really do think his mindset was, he's been here. He knows the offense. I think he maybe came in a little too cocky, knowing that he'd be the third string.
Assuming. And we know what assume stands for. Yeah. My grandpa used to say, assume stands to make an blank out of you and me.
Anyways. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. But I think he's like, no, I know the offense. All I do is play well enough just to stay on the roster and be the third quarterback. Because he knows he's not beating out Brandon Bridge. He knows he's not beating out Zach Kleros.
So you think he just got lazy?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, because when I watched that preseason game, well, first of all, Sheena and I were in Saskatoon at training camp. And Watford, I noticed, was taking a lot of the snaps. Didn't think anything of it because I was only there for one day and I was only there for less than an hour.
Right.
And I was kind of sidetracked. I was chatting with Rod Peterson. I was chatting with Ryan Pollock and wasn't really paying attention. So I didn't mention it. Didn't think anything of it. But then when they went into Edmonton and you saw that Watford got the whole half to work with and then they gave Marquise a quarter, that told me right then and there that this was Watford's job to lose.
Yep.
Now, Watford only really moved the ball on one series, right? Mm-hmm. There was the one drive. Yep. And I thought his receivers made him look a lot better than he is on that drive. Like, you know, like, for example, there was a pass interference call where that got him a first down. And then Daron Carter made a nice catch. And later on, Naaman Roosevelt made a nice catch. He kind of hung him out to dry. Actually, Naaman took a pretty good lick. And I thought, I have not seen anything that leads me to believe that he should be the third string guy. But having said that, he was going against the first team defense.
Right.
And he got through his reads. He got through his progression. So do you think that maybe the coaches are looking at that saying, you know what? Yeah, he was a little off on his throws. We can work on that. He got through all the other stuff first. He got the ball out and he found the receiver.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on Zach Kleros, why he didn't play.
Why he didn't play in the first game?
Yeah, because he hasn't played in how long now? You have to get that mindset of his knee.
He hasn't played since before Labor Day.
Yeah, so he had to get a mindset of his knee out of his mind early. He can't go in week 1 and 2 and 3 and just trying to get over the whole ACL tear and guys falling around his legs. You can start 0-3. And with the West right now, you don't want to start 0-3.
That's kind of like with Matt Dominguez. Remember he was having all of his knee problems?
Yes.
And I remember they were in a preseason game in Edmonton, and he hadn't played in quite some time. And it was pouring rain on that grass. And they said, you got to play the whole game. Or he played like three quarters. And he fought his way through it. Does Zach need to kind of have that moment?
I think so. Because, I mean, he has to get used to those receivers that he had. He got some great receivers out there. So I feel like the sooner the better. If Ryder did a good jump on the West, they can win it. But I don't know. You got BC, Winnipeg. I mean, them guys are good this year. So I think they should have played him at least 2 or 3 drives in the first quarter, at least.
So you think that Chris Jones is maybe just so confident in his ability in practice to get him crisp with those routes and not get injured? Maybe that's what this is about?
Yeah, I think, practice is so overrated.
Practice? What are we talking about? Yeah. Practice?
I mean,
Allen Iverson?
Yeah, I mean, you just some of these guys, training camps, some guys know they're not getting cut.
Right.
Whether the coach say, I'm evaluating the whole team, that's a lie. Some guys know they're not getting cut, so some guys not going as hard. So I feel like practice tempo and game tempo is totally different.
But to you, you don't feel sorry at all for Marquise?
Well, I don't know him, right? So I don't know. I'm just speculating about how you get cut 6 days in.
And that's crazy.
And you've been here for a whole season last year or whatever. So how you get cut 6 days in, that means you were not in shape. Your mind went into it. And you just didn't care. I don't know. So I don't feel bad because he's a professional athlete. So been
he should have known that this was his year to make a big step.
That happens.
Yes. And maybe he just pouted. Maybe that was his problem.
Probably did. He probably pouted when he signed Zach. He's like, oh, man, I never don't play now.
When what happened?
I think he probably pouted when they signed Caleros.
Oh, because he said, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm never going to play now.
There was a very well-respected personnel guy who told me after the Riders got blown out in Vancouver last year early in the season. Remember when they started 2-6?
Yep.
And we thought the season was going to take on a completely different tack than what it did.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, really, they should quit fooling around with Kevin Glenn. At this point, what they should be doing is we should see Marquise. Because Marquise is the future, or he could be the future, whereas Kevin Glenn and Brandon Bridge have nothing to offer
in the long term. Jones, in my opinion, don't want to be here. He wants to win as soon as he can to move on.
Because he's always thinking about his next step.
Yes.
Sheena's like nodding, yes. Yeah.
So therefore, he does whatever he can to. That's why he brings so many different players.
He's Don Matthews Jr. Don Matthews.
His first job was where in the CFL?
Don Matthews?
No, Jones.
Jones, Montreal.
D-line coach Montreal.
Under Don Matthews. When Don Matthews was in Saskatchewan, he couldn't wait to get out of Regina.
That's why Jones don't have a place here. He lives in a hotel.
That'd be awesome.
What? No, I want a kitchen.
Yeah, that's weird, hey? That is a bit strange, isn't it?
I mean, yes.
I don't mean this as like disrespectful.
No. But that's who he is.
But he was like that in Edmonton, too.
Yeah, that's
it's like, who he is. It's like he's saying, I want my life to be 24 hours, football, and I might go sit at the bar once in a while. And other than that, he doesn't want to worry about cooking. He doesn't want to worry about cleaning. He doesn't need a living room, I guess. Nope. Do you think they give him the penthouse suite?
I don't know. I think Jones papers have his own pocket, so I bet he.
That'd get expensive. But
he makes $850,000. He makes $850,000 a year.
Are you sure about that? Yeah, I haven't heard that number reported anywhere. You are an insider, and you have that.
$850,000. GM, head coach, DC.
That's pretty good.
GM
pretty good gig if you get that.
$500,000 a year.
Do they really?
Yes.
I remember when Tillman was here, he was getting like 300 and people were like, whoa.
That's back then. But Jim Pop in Montreal was making over $500,000 a season, a year.
And then Trestman's getting like $600,000 to be just the head coach. Doesn't even have to be the GM. He's like you. He just wants to coach the guys who are here.
Yep. There you go. So therefore, he got three hats. So he's getting paid a lot of money, man. Market. But I think Jones just want to win and get
out of Dodge.
Get to the States. He want to be close to home to where he knows. To where he's at home with his family.
He just wants to get out of Dodge. Yeah. Just like us.
Yeah.
This has been fun. Episode number 25 of Chunky and the Man 25. CFL podcast. You can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And of course, on our flagship, lastwordonsports.com. Good night, everyone.